You're in Galatians, the third chapter. We're continuing a theme that the Lord has laid on our hearts to share with you. Let's pick it up from chapter 3, verse 1. And let me also say that I am not going to try and do in a few minutes what takes 35. And I'm perfectly at ease about that because I know what the Lord wants me to do this morning. And we had ample time with an abbreviated service to do the same in the first service. So I am perfectly at peace and I want you to be. Chapter 3, verse 1. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish after beginning with the Spirit? Are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? Have you suffered so much for nothing, if it really is for nothing? Does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you? Because you observe the law, or because you believe what you heard? Consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The Scriptures foresaw that God would justify and save the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham when he said, "All nations will be blessed through you." Well, how could that be? Because through Jesus being of the lineage and family tree of Abraham, all the world is blessed by that one child from his family tree. And that was the gospel preached to Abraham. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. All who rely on observing the law are under a curse, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law." Passing is 100%. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law because, and he quotes the prophet, "The righteous will live by faith." The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. If he's going to go by the way of the law, he better get 100%. Verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Please notice he did not redeem us from the law. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. The law is still in place. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree, crucified." He, Jesus, redeemed us, two reasons, in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, and two, he redeemed us so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Now we have in this text Paul's reiteration that, look, if you're going to try to serve God, you do it by doing it by faith. Remember Abraham, who is the father of all the faithful. How did he come into an acceptable relationship to God? He believed God and it was credited to him for righteousness. Moses hadn't come. The Ten Commandments weren't there yet. No ceremonial law. So, dear Galatians, what are you doing? If Abraham, who is the father of us all, and gives us the illustration by faith we become acceptable to God, why should you do anything differently? Oh, foolish Galatians, who's turned you around on this thing? Abraham was a man of faith and he was acceptable to God and the father of all the faithful. And if we have faith, we are children of Abraham, so that all of us who love Christ here this morning are spiritual Jews. For Paul says, "He who is circumcised in flesh is not a Jew, but he rather who is circumcised in spirit and in heart, he is Israel and he is Jew." Because its spiritual implications were all found in the fulfillment, not circumcision of the flesh, but rather what it pointed toward and was fulfilled in the New Testament. All right? Now he points out something that I want to share with you. And please look at verse 14. He, Jesus, redeemed us. And I point out to you before three marvelous words translated by the English word redeemed. The first is agorazo, to buy you in the marketplace. Ek agorazo, to buy you out of the marketplace of sin. Lutreo, to redeem you and ransom you so you never have to go back on the slave block again. Buying us in the marketplace of sin, buying us out of the marketplace of sin, and lutreo, to buy us and redeem us so that we are never back under the slave master's task whip again. That's what he means by redeeming us. He saved us with that all in mind. Now, that being the case, he goes on to show us something else. We all understand that. Any gospel church that preaches the gospel preaches that and should and shall and will. But we press on to what Christ also redeemed us for and redeemed us unto, and that is what it says here. He redeemed us in order that we might be given the blessing of Abraham, which was faith in the Messiah, but also so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Now, Paul's not talking about the witness of the Spirit here. I've explained to you that before. Please turn to Luke 24:46. Luke 24:46. This is our Lord speaking to the men after his resurrection. I'll start with 45, a marvelous verse. Then he, Jesus, opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Let that be your constant prayer as well as mine. He told them, this is what is written. The Christ will suffer, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Praise the Lord. There's repentance and faith to be preached to all nations. That's the foundation of the gospel. Then he goes on. I am going to send you what my Father promised, or the King James says, I'm going to send you the promise of the Father. Well, what promise was that? It was the promise that God made the Son in the councils of the Trinity, that when he arose from the dead and came back to the Father's right hand, that the Father would give him the privilege he promises to the Son. And can you imagine the Father promising the Son something? But he does. It's amazing. I mean, it's just to think that the Godhead meets together and has fellowship with each other. It's amazing. And the Father says to the Son, if you do this, I will give you the Holy Spirit and you can pour him out on your people. And so the Lord Jesus received from the Father that promise that when he got back to heaven, he could have that privilege, that ministry of pouring forth the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Ghost upon his people. Now look, I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city, that is of Jerusalem, until. Now, until is a time word. All right? Don't leave this room until I'm through preaching. That is a time word. When I'm through, you may leave. When I leave, you'll know. Don't leave ahead of time or I'll call you by name. Sit down. Okay? It's a time word. Don't leave Jerusalem until what? Until you have been clothed, King James, endued, which means put upon, clothed upon with power from on high. Now, he's speaking to apostles. He's speaking to men who were saved and loved him. He says, now, look, you know I'm saved. You've seen me. I'm healed. You know I'm raised from the dead. I'm alive. You've eaten with me. You've touched me. You've seen I'm for real. But don't you go out preaching. Can you imagine? Let me get out there and tell people. I just burst. So not yet. Don't you leave Jerusalem. I don't want you out there preaching and ministering until you've been filled with the Holy Ghost and endued with power from on high. Can you imagine? They had a 10-day wait. Tarry or wait in Jerusalem until you're filled with the Holy Spirit. We have no waiting period. Historically, the Holy Ghost has been poured out and is available. They had a historic 10-day waiting period because in the time calendar of God, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, God poured out his Spirit. And God has economies and increments of time when he's going to do great once-in-history things. Once in history, the Son of God was born of a virgin. Once in history, the Spirit is poured out, then becoming available to his people. All his people, not just a few great heroes like Samson and Gideon, etc., in the Old Testament. Wait till it happens. And in a sense, I want to tell you that the next thing, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, that the very top priority in your life right this morning, don't do anything else spiritually until you've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Put this on your priority list, and in the time that you are to call your own, you give yourself to the Word and waiting on God until you know you've been filled with the Spirit of God. Now, I was ordained and pastoring and Youth for Christ and gospel teams and name it for years before I was filled with the Spirit. Saved, yes. Changed, yes. Witnessing, yes. Tithing, yes. Baptized, yes. and hadn't been filled with the Holy Ghost. And anybody talked to me, it was over my head, or I didn't need it or hear it or whatever. But when it was brought to my attention in the time and providences of God, I immediately locked in on this thing, on this truth, because I knew I'd seen it in the life of this man. He was pointing me back to the Word, and I knew there was something there that I had not yet, as an ordained pastor, received from the Lord. Now, I bring that to you to encourage you, because you may have been like I was, fearful, full of questions, and all the rest. But I determined I'd find the answers and put my questions to rest, and that God would then bring me to faith in Himself to do it. Now, the Lord said, don't leave Jerusalem until, all right? Now, look at Acts chapter 1, please, the promise of His Father. The promise of His Father. Acts 1, verses 4 and 5. On one occasion, while He was eating with them, that's Jesus, He gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of the gift my Father promised, which you have heard Me speak about. When did He speak about it? John 14, 15, and 16, before His crucifixion. For John baptized, John the baptizer, baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Don't leave till then. The promise that came through Abraham of Jesus is fulfilled in our salvation, but Christ also purchased on Calvary. He redeemed us from the curse of the law. He redeemed us from our sins that we might receive the blessing of Abraham and that we might receive the promise of the Spirit, or the promised Spirit, by faith. Just like we receive Christ by faith and we know He'll save us, we receive the Holy Spirit by faith to fill us, and He is self-witnessing. The Holy Spirit does not get laryngitis. If He can tell us that we're saved, He can tell us that we're filled in any way He wishes. In a few days, you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost. This was fulfilled in chapter 2 when the Spirit of God came upon them, and it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Someone asked me a question again this morning. I'll say it again. Let me show you, if I may. Your body is like the glass. The glass is a container. Your body is a container. It contains your spirit. This glass contains water. Now, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, your body is filled with spirit, just like this glass is filled with water. But it also speaks of being baptized with the Spirit, because it says you should be baptized not many days hence, but when it took place, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So the fulfillment of that promise was called fullness. It was also called baptism. Now, if you allow me again to take a piece of paper, and remember that your body contains your spirit. So we must let the piece of paper represent your spirit, and I put it inside the glass, all right? Now look, the body has your spirit in it, represented by the white piece of paper. But the glass also is almost full, and we'll pretend it is also filled with water. So your body receives the Holy Spirit and is filled, like a glass is filled with water, but your spirit, which is inside your body, is like the paper in here, and this paper is totally immersed, covered over, baptized with water. So just when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, your body receives the fullness as a container, and the spirit that you have within you is baptized and covered all over with spirit, and that's why it's called the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or the fullness of the Holy Ghost. Your body's full, and your spirit inside is baptized, covered, and immersed with Holy Spirit. All right? Now, I'm going to take a little drink of water. It's perfectly sanitary. Thank you. Now, that's the promise of the Father. Look at chapter 2 of Acts, verse 33. Speaking of Jesus. God, 32. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. So Jesus, who saves people and puts the Spirit of God in every child of God that's saved, every child of God has the witness of the Spirit in him, whether he knows that's what it is or not. The Spirit of God tells him he's saved on the inside, so he just, quote, knows he's saved. He starts to give evidence on the outside of the changes of his life and the evidences of conversion. So the Spirit within is giving evidence of himself by the changes seen in people's life on the outside. But now he's talking about he's poured forth that Spirit upon you, which he received from the Father. And that Jesus receives from the Father that promise and poured forth his Spirit upon his people. That's the promise, Holy Ghost. Now you understand, as you look at Acts 2:38. Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." Wonderful. That's the precious repentance and faith forgiveness that we have. And all through the book of Acts, I point out to you, as well as what I just did in Galatians, the promise of Abraham, which was saving faith in Christ, wonderful, followed by the promise of the Holy Ghost. Salvation in Christ, God speaks to it, Father, the Lord Jesus speaks to his disciples and says, "Now you are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you." And then he says, "But I'm going to give you the promise of the Father to come upon you, the Holy Spirit." Saved, filled, saved, filled, saved, filled, all the way through the book of Acts, whether it's a moment, whether it's a few hours, whether it's a few days, like with Paul, or whether it's a few weeks, like with the Samaritans, or whether it's almost instantaneously, as with Cornelius. With Paul, it was 3 days. And nowhere in the New Testament do you find years going by before people are filled with the Holy Spirit. The Acts 19 would be the case, but they didn't know any light. But as soon as they got light, they moved on it. And so to catch everybody up to the same speed in the Word of God, I'm asking you this morning, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? As a child of God. I didn't say you're saved. If you're not, I got good news for you. You can be saved. And as soon as you are, I'm going to tell you about some more good news. The same Jesus who saves you wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit. That this is square one and square two, as locked together in what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. But let me tell you, whole denominations and churches have pulled it asunder. And it just happens. It either died out or got kicked out or forgotten out or worn out, something. Because this relationship of being saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, those two truths, must be taught with truth and balance and winsomeness to the beauty of our Lord Jesus. And his ascension throne ministry is to be primarily, among other things, pouring out his Spirit. He hath ascended to the Father's right hand. What's he doing now? He's died. He's all done. All his work is ended. We sing that. Joyfully we sing, "Jesus has ascended. Glory to our King." Now he begins a new ministry there. And one of his great ministries is to pour forth his Holy Spirit upon those whom he has saved through his hard dying and resurrection. And so it's a continued ministry of Jesus. If you were like I was, I had fears, questions, doubts, and I got into the fullness of the Holy Ghost by climbing over the barbed wire of my prejudices, my fears, my ignorance, my whatevers. I mean, it was not taught to me. I was not born into it. I didn't know anything about it. And I had to go over it, all the fears and all the questions and all the doubts that I had ever heard. And I'm glad it was that way, because it forced me back into the Word of God. Now, many of you, thank God, don't have that problem and don't need that problem. I'm simply saying, if you're out there and if you have questions and if it wasn't in your background, it wasn't in mine either. The ministry of Jesus to save me was marvelous. My life was changed. I witnessed, tithed, got baptized, went off to prepare for the ministry, went on gospel teams and gave tracts, everything I could. And the Lord let me go that way for several years, until in his great mercy, he crossed my path with a man who by life and teaching made it so clear that I had a choice to make. I either had to find out what he was talking about or really not go to his meetings anymore. You know what I mean by that? If what he says is true, I better find out. And if you're not going to find out, quit going to the meetings, because I was becoming responsible more and more for the truth and the light he was laying on my heart. Let me tell you, it was never in my mind or heart to turn back, never once. Questions, 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 seek, study, yes, till it was all at peace, then I could approach the Lord and ask him to fill me, which he graciously did, and he'll do for you too. I say that just to comfort anybody and to encourage anybody that may come out of a negative anti-background, or even a neutral, watch out for these crazy people background. All I believe was the rumors. I hadn't heard, hadn't seen anything like that. All the kooks and the holy rolls, I hadn't seen any. I just thought they're there and they're gonna scare me out of this thing. And you can have chicken, folks, without eating feathers. You remember that? Remember that? Now, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. And you, now, all right, they're saved. Now what, Peter? And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, if they're repenting and believing, they have the witness of God in them. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the promise of the Father to be given to them, that Christ just rose from the dead, ascended to the Father's right hand, poured forth that which you now saw on the day of Pentecost. And I say again, we have 7 instances in the book of Acts of people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. 3 of those times, Acts 2, they spoke in tongues, Acts 10, they spoke in tongues, and Acts 19, they spoke in tongues. So we embrace all the gifts of the Spirit here in biblical order. We have tongues, we have interpretations, so we can all hear, understand, be edified, and say amen at the giving of your thanks. In Acts 4, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke the word with boldness. The house was shaken too, no small meeting. But they spoke the word of God with boldness. In Acts 9, Paul was healed when he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Later on, he spoke in tongues more than all. In Acts 13:52, it says they were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 19, they spoke in tongues and prophesied. In Acts 8, we don't know what they did, but the Spirit of God came upon them, whether they sang spontaneously or had holy laughter or prophesied or whatever they did, I don't know. All we know that there was a manifestation to them. And they say, how will I know I'm filled? The same Spirit that bears witness that you're saved will bear witness that you're filled. The same Spirit that bears witness of your salvation and the evidences of the new life come out of you at conversion and in the days following and as you grow. So, as you're filled with the Spirit of God, new evidences come out in your life of a Spirit-filled walk with God. There may be gifts manifested at that time, there may not be. They may be manifested later. But the gifts of the Spirit are given not later than the fullness of the Holy Spirit. All right? Now you understand why Paul says, how can you turn back to something so irreducibly low and lower than Abraham, who walked by faith, received the promise, if you have faith, you're like Abraham, that he might have the blessing of the Messiah come to you, and that you might receive the promise of the Lord Jesus to not only save you, but to fill you with his Spirit. Now, I'm through, and I'm through a little bit early, and I'm not through early on purpose. I tell you what I'm going to do. We're going to close the service down. And many times, it's not uncommon for me to go to 12:20 and 12:25, and I'm not going to do that because I don't believe that's what God wants today. We're going to close the service. We're going to do this. Everyone who wishes to leave certainly is welcome to do that. Those who wish further help, instruction on being filled with the Spirit, or to be prayed for if you're up to the point of appropriating faith, we'll be explaining that. I want to meet with you right down here. And so if you have children, however, make sure you get them out of the nursery because we don't want them kept in there if you have a child back there. So in just a moment, we're going to stand, and you're welcome to leave, you're welcome to stay. But if you do, gather down here. We're going to answer questions, pass out any further information to help you into the fullness. And I want you to pray with me now that this is not just something we're going to go through, but that those whom God has created hunger in and those who should be hungering will come and seek the Lord. Because, friends, this is the one, two foundational stones of any gospel ministry as the Lord ordained it to be. And we want to all understand that if his purposes are to be fulfilled in your life, personally and in this place. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that your Son has received from you the promise of this precious Holy Spirit, that we may receive it from you, Lord Jesus, by faith, and to know that you have filled us with your own life. Lord, we pray, take away all fear. Answer the questions. Now, Lord, for those who have neither fear nor questions, thank you for the faith you put into them, that you're not playing games with them. You're not putting a carrot in front of their nose that they'll never get to. That those whom you call, you fill. That deep answers unto deep, and deep calls to deep, and hunger answers unto the answer in you. Thank you for every child of God in this place that's been filled and is walking in that relationship. And for all those who should now be beginning it, Lord, we pray for them, we love them, we encourage them. Send forth your light and your truth. Let them lead us. Amen. We'll see you tonight at the Lord's Supper, and those who are interested, I'll meet you right down here on the left.